So, my friends, it makes me very happy and kind of warm inside to see all of you in front of me on the screen. And you can't hear me? So can you lift your thumb if you can hear me? No one can hear me. Well, that's interesting. Oh. So now, good morning, and it makes me very happy to see all of you here on the screen in front of me, and actually got a very warm feeling inside to have this time together and to see so many of you in such a wonderful way, and to see you, some of you already meditating, and some of you smiling, and some of you kind of maybe in your place, where your home or someplace. So thank you for being part of this. And this is the beginning of the first instructional sitting for the retreat. And because this is an experienced students retreat, we're assuming that all of you have heard instructions and have found ways over time that instructions, ways of practicing that work for you. And we're not offering instructions here to necessarily as an alternative to how you practice what you found, but rather maybe certainly you could follow our instructions exactly as they're offered, if that's nice for you. But I think the spirit in which they're being offered is to augment the way you practice, maybe to offer some other perspective or some other nuance of ways of practicing rather than a new way of practicing, if that's what you hear. And so certainly listen and see how it works for you and how to integrate what we say into how your practice, what you found for yourself, it works. Or if you hear something new, maybe it's interesting to experiment with something new, and that might be also very helpful for you. But as a result, what you won't have, what you won't receive, is some real basic foundational instructions, as maybe you would get progressively on a retreat. So with that as an introduction, I'll just jump right in and offer the most complicated, sophisticated, profoundest of all the possible teachings that you must be ready for being experienced students. And that is, keep it simple. Keep your practice simple. That I spent time with Munindraji in India, and one of his teaching was that if it's not simple, it's not vipassana. So to begin this sitting, you might give some care to your posture with the idea that perhaps over the years that you've practiced that you have a little heightened ability or sensitivity to adjust your posture in subtle ways, in small ways, just to kind of get more aligned or balanced or in a better position to be both alert and relaxed. And it could be very subtle adjustments in the spine. Even if you're sitting with a backrest, there might be subtle ways in which you could maybe between your shoulder blades be a little bit more alert feeling. Maybe a very small millimeter difference in how open your chest is. Perhaps in small ways you can adjust your head. Some people find it helpful to bring the chin down a little bit or create a little space between the last vertebrae of the spine and the skull. And perhaps you're all too familiar with holding patterns in your stomach. Old friend of yours, there it is. And this friend that you have in your stomach, perhaps you can reassure the tension you have and soften, relax in your belly. Perhaps the old friend you have in your shoulders, your tension there. Maybe a companion you've had for many years. Maybe you can offer a reassuring attention to that tension. And as you breathe out, maybe you can relax, soften. And in the theme of simplicity, what is the simplest way that you can be aware right now? This capacity, innate capacity we have of being aware of the universe knowing itself. How does that manifest now? How does that appear? And what would be appropriate for you to let go of so you can be here in this simple present moment awareness? What have you learned over the years that you don't need to be involved in? Thoughts and feelings. Instead of being involved, you can let go of your involvement and let go into a simple awareness of what is. And perhaps you have a reference point or a center of gravity for your practice, maybe with the breathing, maybe sounds, maybe just a open awareness itself. And whatever makes it challenging for you to stay with your basic practice, how can you have a simple relationship with that? To not be for or against it, but to discover ever newly how to be inclusive in your awareness. How to be aware of the very things that take you away or are challenging, so they are not taking you away. They're just one more thing to include in your awareness. This too. So you can be simple with it, simple in the awareness of it. And in those times where you know you've learned that letting go is helpful for you, see if you can let go in a simple way, without any aversion, without any clinging, without even any need to successfully let go. Just a releasing. Releasing that then allows things to be as they are, in the simplicity. And whenever it's useful for you, remember to come back and be grounded in your body. Grounded in where your body connects with your chair, your seat. So that groundedness reminds you that here, at this time, in this place, this present moment experience is the location, is the time in which we open. To the simplicity of awareness, the freedom from clinging, the freedom from self, the freedom just to be, where just to be is enough, breathing, aware, one breath at a time. our ability to have attention is actually many different abilities. The ways in which we, our senses, our senses of our body, sense the world is one way. And it's one of the ways where sometimes attention can be discerned as occurring independent of our self-concept, independent of us, me, myself, and I as the agent, the ideas of self, the doer. And to relax into the body and feel the body's experience of itself, the way the senses are stimulated. Perhaps your breathing, as the body moves as you breathe, to be aware of the body's experience of it, of the body's own experience of breathing, the way it feels in the body, and how that's in and of itself, those sensations have very little self involved. They just appear. And then to help us be grounded here and now, the mind can know what that experience is. It can know it silently, in the silence of the mind, or it could know it specifically in the simplest possible ways. Inhale, exhale, pressure and release of pressure, movement, stillness. And what we contribute, in a sense, is the simplest possible knowing of what arises in awareness independent of ourself. It's possible also to be aware of how the mind's experience of itself, almost physically, the body's experience of the mind as tension or pressure, agitation, and our contribution is to know it as pressure, constriction, tightness, agitation. And if it's easy enough, to relax the thinking muscle, to soften in the mind, and perhaps in doing so, it's a little bit easier to be simple in the awareness. The simple knowing of how experience experiences itself. The experience of our senses. Where sensations and sensing occur together, independent of our doing and our wishes and our efforts. sitting here, what is it that you could recognize that's happening, that if you recognized it, you could be more fully here? So I would like to say a few words about some of what I said yesterday and maybe this morning, is that we have many different faculties that contribute to the overall ability to pay attention, to give attention. So, for example, we have the faculty of hearing, and we hear, and that faculty contributes to the overall ways in which the gestalt, the whole of how we're paying attention. We have eyesight, eyes, and nose, and tongue, and tactile is really important, you know, and that we feel sense through the body. And we have ones that are not, you know, part of traditional Buddhism. We have, you know, we have the senses that will contribute to our ability to feel balance. And that sense of balance also contributes to the overall sense of what we're aware of and attentive to, and proprioception, where we are in space. It's also another kind of sense that we have. So there's many different ways in which that all these things contribute to sensing and aware. And clear comprehension is one of those. And I think of clear knowing, clear comprehension, and be a clear or very clear or poignant way in which a knowing, the ability to know or to recognize, that's also something very simple, the ability to recognize, to clearly recognize what's happening. And what I was trying to, one of the things I was trying to emphasize this morning is that some of the ways in which we, these attentional faculties operate kind of independent of what we usually identify as me, myself, and mine. We usually identify that I'm in charge, I'm the agent, I'm the doer, and all that. So, for example, if on a cold day you go stand out in the sun to allow yourself to get warm, and the sun rays come in and you absorbed into your body, and you said you can, maybe you stand facing the sun, you can maybe even you open your chest wide or something to really allow the sunlight to come in, but the warmth. But as you warm up in the inside, I don't think we then identify that the warming that we're getting, I'm doing. That's, boy, am I a good sun warmer. I'm like the best sun warmer on the block, you know, and I better, you know, I can really do this well. All this me, myself and mine, it's like, that's kind of besides the point. If you're cold and you just absorb the warmth, and that warmth occurs as, you know, one of the attentional faculties in the body feels the warmth, and it just happens a little bit outside of in some ways outside of the self. We might appropriate it. We might kind of say, oh, I'm, you know, me, myself, and mine in relationship to it, in reaction to it. Same thing with discomfort as we meditate. We can feel discomfort in some part of the body, and that's just the universe doing itself. It's, the universe has been built in a way to give signals of discomfort, and without them we probably wouldn't manage our way through the world in a safely. And it's just when conditions come together, feelings of pain or discomfort arise. And you can feel that they arise independent of the usual location or identification of self. They're just there. And then the self then reacts to that, and the self reacts to it, judges it, or makes something out of it. But in and of itself, it happens without self. I had tingling in my body in this meditation, and I was very aware that the tingling, I couldn't identify that as me, myself, and mine. It was just tingling. The natural world was tingling in the form of this body. And then I could know the tingling, to recognize the tingling. And then if there was any self involved, it was me thinking about how I would tell you about this. the basic idea was, the basic feeling was. So what I want to suggest is that always, in our experience, there is parts of the experience, parts of the immediacy of the experience, of how we take it in and sense it, experience it, that's happening to some degree independent of what we usually identify as me, myself, and mine. And you know it's happening that way if it's happening simply. The complexity usually comes from the ways in which we start thinking about it or appropriate it to self or feel like we're in charge and we have to do something. But that part of experience which is free of self, it's just there. And as we kind of include that, and then you might feel that side by side with how you appropriate it or how the self gets involved and wants. And then as experienced practitioners, if I can give some instruction to you, that hopefully it'll work, and if not, just forget it. If you find there's self going involved, and me, myself, and mine, I have to do this, or this is happening to me, and I'm not doing it well enough, or all this kinds of stuff that goes on, if you can, it can stand out and highlight if you can see that part of the experience which is selfless, has no self in it, that kind of self. But the instructions is, if you see that and see that self, just smile. The smile of the Buddha. Just like, well, here it is. Wow. You know, here's my old friend. You know, and you see the contrast perhaps, and you don't take it quite as seriously. You don't take it as the end of the world or as being the most important thing or as being a personal fault or failing. It's like, just smile. If you like being amused, just be amused. There it is again. Okay, my old friend. I see you. And then continue your practice. And hopefully, in that kind of way, what I'm trying to point to is trying to support or encourage this real simplicity in the practice of, and staying close to that which has no self in it in the moment-to-moment experience. Perhaps will help you find a simplicity in how you then do the knowing, your recognition. And what's amazing, what's really nice, is when the sense of recognition and knowing what's happening, it's always happening as well, knowing that your mind has wandered off, knowing that your foot hurts and wondering whether you should move your posture, knowing whether the breath has gotten tight, wondering if you should relax your belly. There's all this, it might be wordless, it might be very silent, this kind of knowing for some of us. But that knowing, that recognition of what's happening, can also arise selflessly. The self doesn't have to be situated in the middle of what is of the recognition itself. And often it is, especially in the beginning of practice when we're applying ourselves in the practice, and don't worry about it. But as the practice deepens, the knowing itself will have qualities of just being nature doing itself, just the natural world, the universe is knowing, as opposed to, you know, me, myself, and mine knowing. And then one more thing about practicing on a retreat like this. I think probably for every retreat that I do, I remind myself, trust the practice. Just do the practice. Because it's kind of like, I know how to ride a bicycle, but maybe they came up with a brand new, better bicycle. But everything is wonky compared to what bicycles used to be like. And I'm told, you'll learn it quickly enough. You know, it's a new bike, but it's a much better, and you'll figure it out. But you have to get on the bike. And you have to stay on the bike. And so sure enough, for the first miles or whatever, it's really awkward and wobbly and you know, not so easy. But because I stay on the bike, then with time, it all evens out, works out, and eventually, yes, it's really easy. So for me, myself, me, myself and mine, when I start retreat, it's often a little bit wonky. The latest and greatest gill is always a little bit wonky. And so I'm finding my way, you know, and so, but I trust the practice. Just do the practice. Stay in it. Stay going. And each of you in this kind of more open practice at home and on retreat and this more open schedule we have will design your own way of doing it. But give some care to deciding how you're going to do it. Some of you might find that for this retreat, that you do much better having a very clearly delineated schedule, when you sit, when you walk. Because then you find yourself, you're not deliberating. You're not second-guessing and wondering, what should I do? Is it better to this or that? And it's better just to have something fixed. And some of you find that it works much better to not have it fixed, and you follow your intuition, follow what the flows, the flowing unfolding of concentration and mindfulness and your body needs, and just kind of follow your instincts and it's better not to have a fixed schedule. But be somewhat deliberate about deciding how you're going to do it, so that whether it's more free and open, and what criteria you're going to use, and whether it's a fixed schedule, so that you can have some of the continuities kind of there. So while this, if it's at least for, if you're anywhere you're like me during this beginning where it's a little bit wonky, you know, as we find our way, so you settle in and just trust the practice. So a couple of announcements. So at lunchtime today, the managers are going to post on the retreat announcement page a sign-up sheet for practice discussions with Andre and I. And there'll be half of you will see tomorrow, and half of you, there's space for half of you this following day. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, there'll be no practice discussion. It's a day of quiet practice. And then Friday and Saturday, we'll do that again, another round. Sunday, there'll be no practice discussion. And then Monday and Tuesday, we'll do it again. And so you'll see that what should be up at lunchtime is signing up for tomorrow and the next day. And please only sign up for one spot for over those 2 days. There's enough spaces for everyone who's a full participant to do sign up once. And then there'll be a separate sign-up sheet for the other times. So, but that we'll announce later. And then tomorrow, there'll be, on the retreat announcement page, there'll be clear instructions about who's in who's what group, once again, and where you click to get into the room that Andre and I are doing. So please sign up. And we really appreciate it if everyone would sign up today, probably before, be nice, before the Dharma talk, just so the managers can make sure everything's happening appropriately. And hopefully you're studying that announcement sheet, that the retreat announcement page, and if you looked at it, read it clearly, read everything, so you know, and also sometimes review it because you forget. And there's a different announcement page for the people who have been called auditors. Some of them didn't like being called auditors, which I sympathize. And one suggestion was, they're our companions. No, that was nicer than auditors. They're companions. Then we're all in it together. And so the companions can also check their companion page just to be up to date with things. And these talks are being recorded, and there's a link, there's the code for getting onto them at Audio Dharma. And so that's logistically, that's kind of what I know of. Is Andrea or managers, do you have anything that would be useful to say at this point? I can't hear you, Kathy. Yikes. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So when the sign-ups go up at lunchtime, when you sign up, you'll see that in fact you won't have sign-up sheets again later. That you'll have a sign-up for tomorrow, and then you'll see the rotating schedule of the sign-ups listed in the columns. So you'll only sign up once, and then we'll repost. And the groups will be rotated. It'll all become clear when people look at the sign-up sheets. And then other than that, just a reminder that the sign-ups will be only on the sheet for the full participants, and not on the auditor's on an auditor's announcement page. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, so then, because it's the first day, and because we're all in it together, and being in community is such a big part of being on retreat, and we want to kind of allow that connection to happen more, if you're up for it, and if you're not sitting in your pajamas or something, I would like to suggest that all of you, including the companions of to the retreat, all of you turn on the video. And all of us just kind of, there's three pages, you know, with the little arrow that points, moves you through the pages. Just kind of click and look at everyone and wave and hi everyone. It's nice to see you and very nice to see you and that we're together and wow, I love it. Wow. Some of you, I don't think you showed yourself yesterday, so it's nice, fantastic. I'm so happy. So here we are, a community at a distance doing this very intimate and profound work of practice and the path of liberation. Thank you so much. I wish you a good day.